Hello, everyone. Well, I'm seeing a lot of people on the screen, and I'm really glad to see your faces and your living rooms. And some of you have an empty couch, but you'll be there momentarily. But it's really good to see everyone. We need some time for community connection these days, and this isn't enough, but it's better than nothing for now, right? And so this is something that I'm looking forward to experimenting with. So I'm really glad to see all of you. As I said, this is very much an experiment right now. And because this is an experiment, this service that we are going to have right now is going to be very, very brief. So we're trying something new. And so I'm going to be looking for your feedback in the days to come so that we can figure out how to improve this experience for everyone. But I think there's a lot of potential here for it. I've heard like from my friend Peter, my good friend Peter, the pastor up at New Life Fellowship, that some of you guys joined his service last week. And he said it was really good. And I've heard from some of you that you appreciated it. And so I'm hoping that we can all be learning from each other in the days ahead. But again, a big thanks to Peter. You know, he's not listening right now, but I really appreciated that their hospitality, that they heard that Chantel and I were occupied at the moment. And so they invited our church family to join theirs. And that's wonderful. So really grateful for his friendship and for the relationship that our churches can have together. As you can tell, we're in my office here right now, so I'm not up front. There's not going to be any sort of singing. I remember a couple of years ago, Jacob Motz was helping out in the AV booth. I think he was helping out Dan, and he had the headphones on, and the AV guys always leave us, our microphones on. And so that they can sort of test how the audio is going through the service before we get up there. And so that I don't have to worry about muting and unmuting myself. And Jacob came up to me after the service and he's like, "I heard you singing, Pastor Ben." And it was, he was laughing for a reason. So I will not be singing this morning, and
good.
I'll be grateful for that. So. Speaking of joyful noises, most of you you should have been muted when you came on. I'm noticing that a few of you aren't, but we're going to keep you all muted so that you're not hearing one another. But there will be some time for interaction, and we'll make sure that we can unmute you appropriately at that time. But I'm glad that most of you have your videos on so that we can see one another, and it's nice to be able to see the crowd. Let me just confess, like, because this is an experiment and because this is new, I feel really nervous about this in a way. So, like, bear with me. I'm trying something new here. And a big thank you as well to Marco, who is administering, facilitating this thing at the moment. He's behind the scenes right now. He's the Unity admin you might see in the corner of your screen or something. He has been a huge, huge help to me this week in getting this stuff ready. There's no way that I would have figured this stuff out on my own without him. And so I'm really glad for Marco's help. So maybe pass on your thanks to him when you get the chance. I should tell you, like, we welcomed a little girl into our family, as you know. Her name's Rosalyn, and yay, yes, thank you. She's wonderful. I'm seeing applause. Yes, thank you. I had very little to do with it. But nevertheless, our family is in the midst of transition. And as you know, our world has kind of changed. And so some of the help that we were expecting to have this week and sort of from our local support networks and some family who obviously would have come from Ontario, that's not happening. And so that means that Chantel and I are each other's support at the moment. And so I'm just asking for a little bit of patience and grace, which you have already shown me and us. If I'm, you know, not not here as much or not as immediately available. I'm sure that you guys are understanding that life is a little different and we are adjusting to that at the moment, but things are good and they're going to get better. And we're really grateful to have Roslyn with us. Let me just give you a rundown of what this time together is going to look like. So it's sort of like our order of service that we print on our bulletin. So here's what it's going to look like. After these opening comments, I'm going to do just read a verse as our call to worship. And then I'm going to offer a prayer that I found on Christianity Today, just a prayer for the pandemic. And so after that, after we've had a chance to pray together, I'm going to offer a very short reflection from Scripture. This is not anywhere close to a full-blown sermon. It's just a chance to get back into the Scriptures and hear a little bit about what God might want to say to us at this time that we find ourselves in this season of our lives. I know that our church, and I especially, but I think our whole church, we really appreciate interacting together around the Scriptures. And so maybe in future weeks, we might do Q&A or something like that. But instead, what we thought we would do, or what I thought we would do, is after that short reflection, we'll take 5 minutes to have smaller groups. So there is a way for us to break you guys off into groups of four or five. And I'll ask you a question that you can just talk to one another about. And this will be a way for some of you to connect and to talk a little bit about, you know, what's your perspective on this particular question. So we'll do that for 5 minutes. And then we'll come back together again, and I'll just ask you, you know, what are some of the highlights from the quick discussion that you had around our particular question and time in the Scriptures? And then from there, I'll offer a short prayer. I'll give a few brief announcements and then offer a benediction. This is going to be very brief, and it's brief partly because I've been very busy at home for this past week, but also brief because this is an experiment. And so I am learning as I am going with this. And so I'm going to be looking for your feedback as well in the coming days. Feel free to send me feedback on this stuff because I want to know how we can make this experience better for everyone. You know, what's making this experience really good for me right now is that I just saw Corey upside down on his screen. That was very cool. Well done. It's an enjoyable experience to see one another. But anyway, I want to find ways where we can improve this. Marco's already told me that the microphone is okay, but he is going to get a better one for me for the next week. So you will be able to hear a little better next week. I am aware that, you know, we can share screens. We can do lots of different things with this. I'm keeping it very stripped down for this week, but we will start to experiment in the weeks ahead. So, with all of those preliminary comments, let me offer a verse from Hebrews as our call to worship. Hebrews 12, 28, the author says, "Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer God acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Amen. This is a time of worship, even if it's brief, and even if we are not doing any singing, worship is more than that. You have got together with us online today so that we can offer God a portion of our days and offer God our attention, and you're here because you want to hear from him, and all of these things are acts of worship. So thank you. And I'm sure that God appreciates the fact that you have made this time and are giving him this attention right now. So I'm glad that we're able to do this together. Now, let's pray together. The prayer that I have for us, I found on Christianity Today, and it's written by an author. Her name is Jen Pollock Mitchell, and she has written a number of books. And she spent a lot of time just thinking through the different people and areas right now that need prayer during the pandemic. And so I thought I would just offer this for us this morning. So let's pray together. We believe that there is a God who bends his ear to listen. And so we pray. We pray for the sick and infected. God, heal and help. Sustain bodies and spirits. Contain the infection. We pray for our vulnerable populations. God, protect our elderly and those suffering from chronic disease. Provide for the poor, especially those who have little help. Lord, we pray for the young and the strong. God, give them the necessary caution to keep them from unwittingly spreading this disease and inspire them to help. We pray for our local, provincial, and federal governments. God, help our elected officials as they allocate the necessary resources for combating this pandemic. Help them to provide more tests. We pray for our scientific community, leading the charge to understand the disease and to communicate its gravity. God, give them the wisdom, knowledge, and the persuasive voice they need. We pray for the media, committed to providing up-to-date information. God, help them to communicate with appropriate seriousness without causing panic or fear. We pray for the consumers of the media. They are looking to be well-informed. God, help us find the most helpful local information to equip us to be good neighbors and keep us from anxiety and panic. Enable us to implement the recommended strategies, even at cost to ourselves. We pray for those with mental health challenges who feel isolated and anxious. God, provide them every necessary support. We pray for the homeless, unable to practice the protocols of social distancing in the shelter. Protect them from disease and provide isolation shelters in every city. We pray for international travelers who are stuck in foreign countries. God, help them return home safely and quickly. We pray for Christian missionaries throughout the world, especially in areas with high rates of infection. God, provide them with words of hope and equip them to be love and to serve those around them. We pray for workers in a variety of industries facing layoffs and financial hardship. God, keep them from panic and inspire your church to generously support them. We pray for families with young children at home for the foreseeable future. God, help mothers and fathers to partner together creatively for the care and flourishing of their children. For single mothers and fathers, grow their networks of support. We pray for parents who cannot stay home from work but must find care for their children. God, present them with creative solutions. We pray for those in need of regular therapies and treatments that must now be postponed. God, help them to stay patient and positive. We pray for business leaders making difficult decisions that affect the lives of their employees. God, give these women and men wisdom and help them to lead self-sacrificially. We pray for pastors and church leaders faced with the challenges of social distancing. God, help them to creatively imagine how to pastor their congregants and love their cities well. We pray for college and university students whose courses of study are changing, whose placements are canceled, whose graduation is uncertain. God, show them that while life is uncertain, their trust is in you. For Christians in every neighborhood, community, and city, we pray, may your Holy Spirit inspire us to pray, to give, to love, to serve, and to proclaim the gospel, that the name of Jesus Christ might be glorified around the world. We pray for the frontline healthcare workers. We thank you for their vocational call to serve us. We also pray that you keep them safe and healthy, keep their families safe and healthy. God, help them to be knowledgeable about the diagnosis and treatment of this disease, as well as the changing protocols. God, help them to stay clear-minded in the midst of surrounding panic. God, deliver them from anxiety for their own loved ones, their aging parents, their children, their spouses, and roommates. God, give them compassion for every patient in their care. provide for them financially, especially if they fall ill and are unable to work. God, help Christians in healthcare to exhibit extraordinary peace so that many would ask about the reason for their hope. Give them opportunities to proclaim the gospel. God, we trust that you are good and you do good. Teach us to be your faithful people in this time of global crisis. Help us to follow in the footsteps of our faithful shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for the sake of love. Glorify his name as you equip us with everything needed for doing your will. Amen. If any of you would like that prayer, just email me and I can forward it on to you. I found it on Christianity Today. I hope some of you have your Bibles. We're going to take a look at the book of Proverbs. I was reading this past week about Christians in Singapore who have been dealing with COVID-19 for at least a month longer than we have. And one of the pastors there was reflecting and saying that in this time, there's a way in which fear has a way of masquerading itself as wisdom. And I thought that that was a really interesting observation and one that we need to hear at this time as we go down the aisles of the grocery store, and some of those aisles are looking sparse. We're seeing this here. We're seeing that fear has a way of grabbing people, and it gets hold of me. I'm one of them. And there is a need for us to be able to react to what's going on and live without fear. And we need to be able to tell the difference between fear and wisdom. And we need to be an example to people of how to live and to keep calm and trust in God. And the world needs our help, right? And we can't help if we are afraid. And so I think it's appropriate that we clarify a little bit. What is wisdom going to look like, and how are we going to distinguish that from fear? 2 weeks ago when we were together, it was a smaller service. It was our last service live. And one of the things that I asked for feedback from the congregation during the Q&A portion was, what scriptures are helping you right now as you deal with the uncertainty and wondering what's happening in the future? And our friend Landon shared first. And Landon said that, as always, he loves the Proverbs. And he finds that the Proverbs are really, really helpful to him. And they are. The Proverbs are there because they offer us access to wisdom, to a way of seeing the world the way that God sees the world. And the Proverbs can be a profoundly useful book if it's read properly. Now, it can be quite a dangerous book if we read it improperly. And so you have to be careful when you read the Proverbs, because they read a little bit like a formula, a little bit like a recipe in a way. If you do this, you will get that. That's the way that they read. They have a lot of confidence in themselves, and they can sound like they're almost a universal rule, like you just do this and this will automatically happen. And so it can be a dangerous book if you don't read them properly. The Proverbs, as one author put it, a guy named David Allen Hubbard, he sort of personified a conversation happening between Proverbs and Job and Ecclesiastes. And he said, Proverbs seems to say in this conversation, here are the rules for life. Try them and you will find that they work. And Job and Ecclesiastes respond to Proverbs and say, we did, and they don't. That in a sense, these parts of scripture qualify themselves. And if you keep that in mind, that these proverbs are general truths, often applicable, not universally applicable, then they can definitely benefit us. Absolutely. And Landon was absolutely right to say that the Proverbs can offer us a lot of help and hope during this time if we read them properly. So that's my my qualification there. But if we do, there's some general truths here that we can apply even to this pandemic situation that we are in, when fears are getting the better of us. Because we need to be able to navigate life. And in order to navigate life, we have to understand the God who has created this life and has already told us how it works. And so the Proverbs' aim is to teach us wisdom. And it gives us, as we talked about 2 weeks ago, when Landon mentioned he loved the Proverbs, we talked about, you know, where does wisdom come from in the Proverbs? What do the Proverbs say about that? The Proverbs say that wisdom comes first and foremost by keeping God at the forefront, knowing who God is and respecting him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if we are living in light of the fact that God is who he is, then everything else falls into place. So would you go to Proverbs chapter 3? In Proverbs chapter 3, in the verses that we are going to look at, the author is reflecting on what life might look like when disaster hits, when things don't go according to plan. And what does living with wisdom look like? So Proverbs 3, starting at verse 21, I'm going to be reading from the New English Translation, but feel free to compare with your own. Proverbs 3, beginning at verse 21. My child, do not let wisdom escape from your sight. Safeguard sound wisdom and discretion. They will become a life for your soul, and grace will be around your neck. Then you will walk on your way with security, and you will not stumble. It sounds like a rule again, doesn't it? Then you will walk on your way with security, and you will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be filled with fear. When you lie down, your sleep will be pleasant. Do not be afraid of sudden disaster or when destruction overtakes the wicked, for the Lord will be the source of your confidence, and he will guard your foot from being caught in the trap. Do not withhold good from those who need it when you have the ability to help. I'm just going to stop there. This author, as you see in verse 23, he's seeing that our security actually comes from wisdom. There's a sense of security that comes when you are walking in light of who God is and seeking his wisdom and seeking to live in light of the fact that he is still in control and still in charge. The best decisions that we are going to make are going to be decisions that remember who God is. And then we act accordingly, whether it's, what should I do in my new normal, this strange time that I am now in? Well, who is God? And how would God think about the new normal that you are in? How does who he is change the decisions that we have to make now? Whether that's about loving our neighbor, or whether it's about how we spend our time, or what we're going to do in sort of an uncertain financial future, we need to be remembering who God is and then making wise decisions, that the decisions we make will not be wise unless we are first remembering who he is and what he thinks about situations like this and what his dream and hope for us is at the moment. Now, how does wisdom produce security? Well, this is the God who made the world. This is the God who knows how it works. It's a little bit like driving, right? When you learn to drive, you learn to pay attention to the signs. Because when you pay attention to the signs, you have a better chance of arriving alive. When you pay attention to the fact that the speed limit says this, it means that they know, the people who are in charge know that this is in your best interest to go at this speed and to think about the fact that there might be deer ahead and drive accordingly. And to put this much distance between ourselves and the other person in front, if we're paying attention to the advice that we are being given, we simply have more security there because we have a better chance of arriving alive. And in the same sense, like, God has designed this world. He knows the way that we are made, and he knows the way that we operate and need to operate. And if we're paying attention to him, then we have a better chance of navigating this. So we need to be remembering God. But I think that the security also comes, as verse 24 says, that when we remember God, 24 to 27 says, when we remember God, we can rest in peace because actually he is the security. It's not just that he's giving us insight into how the world works, but he is reminding us as well that he is at work in the world. And when we're remembering that there is a tremendous amount of peace and security that comes when we put our focus and attention on him, because he still has his hands on the wheel, my friends. And we need to be remembering that this week. I need to be remembering that as I'm going down the aisles in the grocery store and it's looking like the world has changed. Things are different now. And when I can't find stinking Purell, you know, we need to be remembering that God is still in charge and he is in control of all this. And I have confessed to you before, friends, this may be for me more than you. I've confessed to you before that I am someone who is naturally anxious, somewhat anxiety prone. And I shared with you before that a couple of years ago, I had a panic attack because I was not managing my own anxieties well. And for those of you who don't know what a panic attack is, it gets mistaken often as a heart attack, chest pains, difficulty breathing, and I ended up going to the hospital. And I got put through a whole battery of tests. I had heart tests, I had stress tests, they're making me run on the treadmill, all this stuff. It was crazy. And it wasn't until later that I actually found out that this didn't have anything to do with my body. It had a whole lot more to do with my mind and how I had been managing those anxieties poorly. So this may not be as much for you as it is for me, but I need to be reminding myself of who is in charge and who is in control. And one of the ways that I was able to start reorienting my own thinking to put the focus on God was actually by memorizing a psalm. And what I did was I started memorizing Psalm 27. You could pick Psalm 23. It's much shorter. But what I did is I wrote out Psalm 27 in my own handwriting, and I folded it up on a piece of paper and I stuck it in my pocket. And every single time that I was feeling anxious, I was really worried about a particular situation we are going through with Tori and all that. I'm not going to go into that. But anyway, I was just so worried. And so I'd pull out my Psalm 27 and I would pray it line by line by line. And I would start to scratch out the lines that I had finally memorized until I could finally pray the psalm with my eyes closed because I had it memorized. And it was a way of putting my hope and my trust back in God and reorienting my mind in the middle of my fears. Psalm 27 is the one that says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" And it was just a wonderful way to help me practice God's presence, but practice God's presence in a way that was calming my fears. So I would encourage you to find ways to put your attention back on God and, you know, pray it while you're walking down the aisles in the grocery store. We need to be reminding ourselves that he is still in control and that he can be trusted. I love where this passage goes of this. And you may have noticed that it's sort of a strange transition between the verses we are reading about trusting God and not being afraid even when disaster strikes. And then all of a sudden it talks about serving your neighbor. It's a sharp turn. But I love that these two things are side by side here. Because if we are seeking God's wisdom, which means that we are reminding ourselves and practicing that God can be trusted, it means that we can go and start helping our neighbor. Helping our neighbor is going to be an act of trust in the coming days if we are feeling like we don't have enough. And there are food banks right now and mustard seed and just neighbors that you know. And there are going to be people in our church family losing jobs and that kind of thing. And we are going to need to be people who are ready to help our neighbor. And we're not going to be in a position to help our neighbor if we're scared for ourselves and if we don't trust God. So my question for you, for your own personal reflection, this won't be our discussion question, but I do want us to discuss it in some way, or whether it's one-on-one or something some other time. But my question for you is, how are we as a church going to help people in need in the coming days? Certainly we have our benevolent fund, and you can continue to give to that. That's there, but what are the other ways where we can be a help to our neighbors in the coming days? I want us to start thinking about that. What is a good response as a church to this time? So, something for us to chew on. But your discussion question is going to bring us back to where I started. I started with that observation from the pastor in Singapore who said that fear often masquerades itself as wisdom. So how are we going to be able to tell the difference between when we're acting out of fear and acting out of wisdom? What's that going to feel like? What's it going to look like? How are we going to be able to tell? So I'd like you to take 5 minutes. We're going to break you off into small groups. Marco has a way of doing this behind the scenes, so I'm just going to wait for him to sort of wave his wand and make it happen. But when you get into your small groups, I think it's about 4 or 5 people, make sure you're unmuted if you aren't automatically unmuted for this time. And take some time to see one another and just talk about this question. What does it look like? How are we going to know? How can you tell when it's fear versus an act of wisdom if they look similar? So, all right. Well, thanks for experimenting with that. I know we enjoyed our time in our group, where I shouldn't speak for my whole group, but I enjoyed my time with our group. And it was nice to hear other people's voices and see their faces, but then also interact about something that I think is meaningful and important and relevant right now. What I thought we would do now is offer a couple people a chance to share some feedback from their group discussion with the rest of the group. And so how that will happen is there is a control that you can touch where you're able to put a hand up. And if you put a hand up, not this hand, but a digital hand, in your controls, then that'll let us know that we should unmute you and you can share your comment and the rest of us will be able to hear it, and then we can go from there. So is there anyone who A, can find that hand, and B, would like to put it up and say, here's a good thought from our group that's worth sharing with the rest of our family here? Anyone? I'm not seeing any. Kent, you got to find the hand on the actual digital thing, man. Kent, I'm going to unmute you and then we'll go from there, okay? So Kent, you're unmuted. You go ahead.
Okay, yeah. You know, for me, I just go back to what the word says, and I just find Jesus there in my heart. Perfect love casts out fear, and, you know, God is love. And so exactly as you said, brother, like how you handled your anxiety, you just went right to the scriptures and memorized the psalm, and suddenly you could pray it back to God, and there was no more anxiety, you know. So there's a beautiful example of perfect love driving out fear. And the application of God's word in our lives is people will see it when we own it, Christ as Lord, you know, and Lord of all. And there's no fear in love. So, yeah, I think it's easier said than done, though. We as Christians, we're no different from the world, really. I mean, it's begging us to just be here with them, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Kent. So I'm going to mute you again, and then I'll add something to that. So thank you. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for being the brave one to get us started. The scripture that Kent is referring to there is 1 John 4. And if you feel like that's a scripture that you think might be helpful for you to memorize, then I'd encourage you to go there and spend some time marinating in 1 John 4 that talks about perfect love casting out fear. So, yeah, thanks, Kent. Was there another comment or two?
I think the Raptors wanted to share something, Ben, so I'll unmute them here.
Go for it.
Go ahead, Raptor.
I'm going to raise the hand. But, so I guess in our group, we talked about a few things. We kind of talked about how when we're the orientation of our heart is kind of a clue to whether something is wisdom or fear. And we talked about how in this circumstance that when we're acting out of wisdom, it should probably come with a sense of kind of calm purpose, and also that we should be one way we can try and determine whether it's fear or wisdom is how our heart is oriented towards others in the actions or the things that we're planning or thinking about. And are we focused on, you know, how we can serve others and how we can help them? And that would tend to fall under wisdom, where if it's kind of a self-centered, selfish orientation where we're fearing for our own self-preservation or things like that, then that would tend to lean towards fear. And we talked about some ways we could serve our communities and things that we could do. And Sue mentioned that she was thinking about, you know, trying to provide her phone number to her neighbors, so that, you know, to offer them whatever assistance she could in that time if they needed something. I think the balance mentioned that it would be nice to try and find a way to maybe connect with seniors and people that are, you know, in nursing homes and are really isolated, we're not really sure what way we could do that is given this scenario. But, you know, those are things we could be contemplating and thinking about how we could make work.
Cool. Thanks, Joel. I'm going to It's fear. One of the ways you can tell that it's fear might be if it has more to do with ourselves versus other people, that fear is a very self-centered and sort of self-protective thing. And so we're not going to be able to look out for the other people if we're constantly thinking about ourselves. So I thought that was a great observation and ties in with what you're saying, Joel. And someone else shared that the fear is there for a reason. And so there's sort of this balance that has to be had between being sort of paying attention to what is causing us fear without it letting it take control of our lives. In a sense, we still have to navigate this, and it's going to require wisdom. So, thank you. Okay, I see that Christina Bunny raised a hand. So let's do that.
Ben, just before you invite Christina, I just want to let everybody know, the raise a hand, if you have it on a mobile device, you need to tap your screen and the menu will pop up at the bottom, and then tap participants and you'll see the option to raise your hand there. So we'll unmute you, Christina, here.
Thanks. Go ahead, Christina.
It's actually Dave, but really. You know.
in our group,
really, we when it comes to talking about whether our actions are motivated by fear or wisdom, we talked a lot about, you know, there's a lot of information flying around out there, you know, between the media and the internet. And during these times, we need to use our wisdom to make sure and listen to the right information. And we've been very lucky here in Canada that we have some very competent health individuals, you know, the health authorities, and that may be one of the reasons why, as a country, we've been doing better than some other countries. And so, yeah, it comes down to who do you listen to, and how do you take that information and translate that into what you do in your day to day?
Yeah, thanks, Dave. I think that's a fantastic observation that we need wisdom about what amount of authority we give other people in terms of the level of say that they have in our lives and the way that we think about things. And we have to be discerning about who is going to have that amount of authority and input. And I know that some of you, I've heard comments this week that have said, you know, we've actually had to scale back on our media intake because for some of the reasons that you're raising, because it's either unhelpful or it's untrue or both. Or it's just at the moment, we need to put our focus somewhere else. And so regardless of how much of that we are taking in, we first need to take in what God is saying about this situation. That means going back to scripture and using some discernment and praying through this and then filtering the other things that we are getting through that stuff as well. So thank you. I see Jody's hand, so that'll be the last one. And then we're gonna wrap up. And well done, everyone. That's great. I'll unmute you, or looks like you're unmuted.
I've done that already.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Good to go.
Okay. Sorry, this isn't necessarily what we talked about in our group, but I was just listening, and I think, you know, talk about that selfish versus unselfish, and we're more focused on others and looking at those things is the difference between wisdom. And I don't disagree with some of that. But I think sometimes we neglect ourselves. We neglect reflecting on ourselves, and our fear, yes, can sometimes be out of our own selfish preservation, but sometimes they are about others. For example, my sister just had major surgery a few weeks ago, and now she has a respiratory infection and potentially COVID. So of course, on Thursday or Friday, when she was telling me this, I was afraid. I was afraid for her, and I was scared, and I ignored it because I was like, okay, you know, I don't need to worry about that. I'm a mental health counselor. I've got a ton of patients I need to worry about. I'm still seeing them, trying to help them through this, right? But then I kind of crashed and burned because I got really upset and I didn't know why. And then I realized I wasn't listening to myself. And God gave us wisdom for our own selves as well. And I had to recognize that I was upset and worried for my sister. I cannot control it, and I do have to give it to God, but I have to know for myself that that's what was wrong, that I was afraid. I have to acknowledge my own fears in order to move past them, that they are fears and that they're not wisdom, that they are, you know, I think, and I don't know if I'm making any sense, but sometimes we are so, we don't stop and pay attention to ourselves. And I'm not saying we shouldn't focus on others, but sometimes for me, others are a distraction. I spend every day focusing on others, but they're distractions sometimes for me stopping and taking the time to reflect on what's really happening. Is this a fear in my head, or am I calm in this moment and dealing with what's going on with myself? So anyway, that's my thoughts.
Those are great thoughts, Jody. Thank you. And you know, who am I to tell an expert like you that this is one of Jody's areas of expertise, and you're absolutely right that we need to be paying attention to ourselves, that the answer to fear is not ignore it, any more than the answer to pain is to ignore it or anything else. At the same time, the answer cannot be to give it our sole loyalty and focus and attention, that there has to be a way to acknowledge what we're going through and bring it to God and find these two interacting and God and allowing God to bring us through these things, not just paying attention to God and hoping this stuff goes away. That we are embodied beings. And that means living in a physical world and going through time. And right now, these embodied beings going through this physical world at this time involves pain and suffering and uncertainty and people getting sick and so on. And so we need to meet God in those spaces. And there will be a way for us to work through it with him together. So thank you, Jody. Absolutely. Thanks for sharing that and for being vulnerable as well about what you're going through. Thank you. Let me give you a concluding thought from Proverbs. I didn't read this verse ahead of time, but if you still have your scripture open, look at verse 18. It's speaking about wisdom, and it says, "She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Happy are all those who hold fast to her." A tree of life. You know, I did a quick search and discovered that the tree of life is mentioned only in Genesis and Revelation, and then in a couple of the Proverbs. And this tree of life is, I mean, that's what kept Adam and Eve alive. The tree of life in Revelation, when the new heavens and new earth come, is the tree, the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. This is going to be something that sustains people in an ongoing way. And yet here in the Proverbs, it seems that God then offers something of that reality to people in the situations that they're in now as they seek him and his wisdom. And so I would invite you into the Proverbs as you go to those other places in scripture in the coming days and weeks as we think about and look for guidance through these times. This is a real encouragement, I find, that God is offering us his very life. And so I'm hoping that as we become people who are more wise and discerning, that we will then become a tree of life for other people as well. So let me offer a quick prayer and then we'll have a few housekeeping things and wrap up. Okay. Lord, thank you for your scripture. Thank you for your church gathered in this strange way and for the ability to do this and still be a people who focus on you together and learn from one another and hear your word and hear you. And Lord, I pray that you would make us a people who are wise and discerning, that you would make us a people who respect fear without putting it nearly in the place that you should be holding in our lives. So Lord, I pray that you would help us to work out that relationship and find that we can navigate the fears because of who you are. And I pray as well for Jody's sister and for others. I'm sure many people on my screen here could name someone that they are really concerned about right now because they're vulnerable, because they're infected, because life is just more uncertain right now and we worry about those we love. And so I pray that you would take these concerns, not that you would remove them from us, but that you would bear them nonetheless and bear them with us, and that we would learn to be trusting you in the midst of this and looking for you to carry us through it. Lord, make us a wise and discerning Christ-like people. In your name, amen. I really enjoyed this. I was quite nervous about it, but it's great to see all of your faces. I've already heard from one missional community who did a Zoom call that it went really well for their small group. So it was it's good to hear. And our missional community is going to try it in a couple weeks. And we have a Zoom account that's available for sort of church related things right now. So sorry, I'm being distracted by someone. I'm taking you off my screen. Okay, so we have this Zoom account that's available. And if there are sort of church-related groups right now that are wanting to connect, we can make this available. Zoom is available to anyone, but it has time limits if you have more than three callers. But if you got a small group and you want to get them together for sort of unity-related purposes, you know, discipleship and so on, then talk to me and we will find a way to make that available to you if you need it. And if you want to join one of our missional communities, these are not closed groups. So if you want to try this in another week or two, feel free to get in touch with me and I'll get in touch with our groups or mine and let you know what that looks like. And we'll experiment with it together. You're not here and we're not able to pass an offering plate, but if you are still needing to give, you can do that both online through the church's website, as well as through PushPay on your phones if you've got that. If you still like being old school and prefer writing checks and putting them in an envelope, feel free to mail an envelope here. Just put it in another one and just write Attention Bookkeeper and it'll come in the mail. It'll go straight to the bookkeeper. I don't want to see it and I don't like dealing with any of that stuff anyway, but it'll get to the right place that it needs to go. And lastly, as I said at the beginning, I do want feedback on this because I want to know how to make this more effective. I think that this has been a good start, but I would like to hear more from you if you have ideas or ways that we can improve this so that we can continue to be a gathering community who worships Jesus, even if it is, you know, in this format. So please feel free to get in touch with me and let me know if you've got ideas or ways to improve it. We're experimenting, and this has always been a church that's been willing to experiment. You know, 40 something gatherers here this morning. That's great. So let's experiment together. Please feel free to get in touch with me. And now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Go in peace, my friends. It was good to see you all this morning. Thanks for being here.